In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, John, the fourth chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. They don't like them. They're unclean, not chosen, false worshipers. And so, beneath them, all of us, whether we'd like to admit it or not, know a Samaritan or two in our own lives. We've all got those sort of people that we'd rather have no dealings with, whether it's the poor or the rich guy, the ugly, the fat, the annoying, the pompous, the arrogant, the conservatives, the liberals, the Catholics, the Baptists. We've all got somebody we'd rather not sit down over a cup of coffee with. But here we have Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, sitting beside the well. Jesus was tired. He wanted to rest. But even in his rest, he works to gather his lost sheep into his fold. And so it was with the Samaritan woman who comes to the well to draw water. And while Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, nevertheless, Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." Now Jesus is well aware of proper etiquette. He knew full well he didn't need to say a word to the woman. He could have been expected to just sit there and watch the poor girl struggle, lifting the heavy bucket of water all the way up from the deep well, probably spilling a bit while she did it. And yet, he strikes up a conversation. "Give me a drink." Now, the Samaritan woman is caught off guard, not because he asks rudely or anything like that, but because he has said a word to her. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Again, our Lord Jesus isn't like other lords. He doesn't strike up a conversation just to break social boundaries of the day, nor does he ask for a drink simply because he is thirsty. Our Lord Jesus waits at this well for just this occasion. The woman coming to draw water wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't that she simply happened to meet Jesus. No. No one just simply happens to meet Jesus. In a certain sense, the whole scene was staged from before the creation of the world. Before the waters or the land were separated, before there were trees and shrubs popping up or birds flying and nesting, our Lord Jesus had this poor Samaritan woman in mind. When Jesus asked her for water, it was just his way of engaging her, of bringing her into a dialogue with him. Is there anything better than being invited to talk with the Lord of heaven and earth? And while Jesus tries to move from just your normal everyday water drawn up from the well to the living water, she does not catch on at first. "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and this well is deep. Where will you get that living water?" You see, she thought living water meant running water or fresh water, the sort of water you'd love to drink and not just bathe or wash in. And so Jesus had to bring her along. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give to him, he will never thirst again. The water that I will give to him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, the woman starts to catch on. "Sir, give me this water." And now Jesus has her right where he wants her. But before he gives her this living water, he says, "Go and call your husband and come here." Those words must have cut this poor Samaritan woman right to the heart. Not only did she not have a husband, but she has had five husbands already, and the guy she is with now only adds to her shame. He is not her husband. The woman, she knows. She knows she is a sinner. She doesn't deserve this living water. Instead, she deserves to draw water from this deep well, full of pain, full of agony, full of sweat, full of sorrow, all the while never finding rest or fulfillment. She knows she is a sinner and she's ashamed. But she still doesn't know who this Jesus is. She calls him a prophet, but doesn't see him as anything more than that. Doesn't see him as that cure for her sin. Now, it's true he is a prophet, but he's not just any old prophet. He's the prophet, the Son of God, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so Jesus again brings her to where she needs to be. He reveals himself as the coming Messiah, the Christ, the one who takes away the sin of the world. I who speak to you am he. This is the sort of conversation that our Lord has with each of us. Each of us is busy tending our own business, drawing water from the well, paying taxes, driving the kids around, putting in the 9 to 5 or more. And while it might seem like a coincidence, Jesus comes to you and he strikes up a conversation. He starts a dialogue with you. Sometimes it's laying something on your heart. Sometimes it's a daydream or a wandering thought. Sometimes it's your neighbor or your coworker or your child. Sometimes it's straight from your pastor's mouth. However he does it, the Lord always has a way of finding you right where you are and leading you to where he is and who he is for you. Sometimes he asks you something like a drink of water, not because he's thirsty, but because you're thirsty. And the water that he gives is always a water combined with his word. It's always a baptismal water, a life-giving water, a forgiving and renewing water, a life-restoring water. It's a water that has been for you since before you were ever born. It is a gift. He wants to give you this gift since the beginning, and his plan encircles and encompasses you. Ever since that first light or day, that first darkness or night, our Lord has had his eye set on you. You, who are the baptized, you have been given this living water. You've met this Jesus by the well. He has called you out for being a sinner, pointing out where you have gone astray, that you may confess, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. But never has he stopped that conversation. Never has he left you alone in that despair. And what he began in the waters of baptism, a conversion of forgiveness, life, salvation, and rebirth, he carries on today and throughout your whole life. He constantly guides you and leads you along with himself. Sometimes he has to prod you along, asking you about your husband or lack thereof. Sometimes he makes things difficult. The death of a loved one, taking them to be with him, and you having to mourn that you don't get to see them here in time anymore. An angry boss, an unbearable coworker, allowing disease or harm, or even just bringing up a topic you swore you'd never speak about again. The Lord will find a way to bring you to his living water, to his life-giving body and blood, to his word of sins forgiven, and all of this for the sake of Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. Amen.